This is the Adam Gold Show.
It'll show up this weekend against UConn. Glorified scrimmage. I know there are some Connecticut fans in the audience. I apologize for keep saying it, but it's what it is. It's a glorified scrimmage. So, work out whatever kinks you have to work out, and we'll see everybody in Death Valley next weekend, which should be an absolute blast. Meanwhile, Clemson's got their own big game, but we're going to talk about here in Minute Takes in just a minute, because they have to deal with Wake Forest on the road in Winston-Salem first. But we got a lot of things to get to, not a lot of time to do it. It's Minute Takes. All right, let's do this, Victoria. I know you're a Panthers fan, so I'll give you first crack. Put 60 seconds on the clock. Saints at Panthers. Panthers getting 2.5 points at home from New Orleans. You go.
Okay, well, last year, they did not have a winning record at home, so I have no reason to think that it would be anything different than that. I do not see the Panthers getting their gameplay together. These division games, they've always been flustered, so to me, I don't have confidence that they can get it together again. It's probably going to be another gorgeous day where they drop the ball for no reason, so I love my Panthers. I don't see them coming out with a win, though, this Sunday, even at Bank of America.
Yeah, they don't really have a home field advantage. They have lost 9 in a row, regardless of the venue. It's hard to have any faith in them.
No.
I don't think that what Dan Orlovsky said in that video that we've already talked about, I don't think that's 100% true, but I also don't think it's 100% false. Like, again, I keep saying it, it just appears that the game is a little too fast for the head coach. It's a hard thing to do. Too fast for the owner, too. I think the Saints will win. I hope they don't, but I think the Saints will win. I think the Saints have a better defense and a better quarterback. All right, let's move on. You just tap me on the shoulder if you want to jump in here, Victoria. Notre Dame at North Carolina. Here's the thing about this game that I find fascinating. We're going to talk to Luke Dukakis about this in about 10 minutes or so. There wasn't as much expected of North Carolina going into this season in terms of being a top 25 team, in terms of doing this or that. But they are 3-0, and Notre Dame is such, there's such a shining light in the sport that it doesn't matter if this Notre Dame team is ultimately a 6-6 outfit. This is an opportunity for UNC in front of a crazy crowd on a gorgeous day where it's going to be like, what, mid to low 70s at Keenan Stadium on national TV, over-the-air TV, to put that skin on the wall. They got to get it. I think they will.
Yeah.
All right. Next, Clemson at Wake. Look, I don't think Clemson is dumb enough to look past Wake Forest. I don't think Dabo Swinney is going to look at the team that just represented the Atlantic Division in the ACC Championship game and think about next week. I think they're smart enough to not do that. That doesn't mean this game's going to be easy. But here's the thing about it. I think Clemson is too big and too physical at the point of attack. I don't think Clemson's going to score a ton, but I think they'll be able to control Wake Forest, and I see this game being played in the low to mid-20s, and I see the Tigers coming out on top, staying undefeated, and setting up a showdown in Death Valley next week.
Yep.
That's all I got for that. Oh, boom. Blow it
on
up.
On to the next.
Blow it up. All right. We're going to get, well, we'll do State here. State at home against UConn. Okay, next. Well, what are we going to say about that? I hope I don't see them run a flea flicker in the first quarter at the plus 30-yard line. That's what I hope.
Right.
Like, I hope they can just line it up and get the running game going against the, what are they called? Whatever UConn is called that I can't remember right now. All right, moving on. Duke at Kansas. When did this become a game?
I know.
Duke 3-0, Kansas 3-0. I know I've been saying it that way for 4 days, but it is kind of remarkable that people are discussing this game as, hey, big game.
Yeah.
What? Duke, Kansas? Look, it's not a big game nationally. It's not a big game even within each conference. But it's a really big game for those two programs that have been doormats over the last few years. Kansas longer than Duke. Duke has sort of bottomed out, we think. I'm pretty sure they have. We'll see if Mike Elko can keep it rolling. I think Kansas might be a little bit better, and it's there. So I don't expect Duke to win, but I expect Duke to play well because I've seen Duke play well 3 weeks in a row. All right, we'll get back to some NFL stuff right here before we have to wrap this segment up. Let's do Bills Dolphins.
Yeah.
Bills for reals with a Z on the end of it. We all know that. Victoria, do you think the Dolphins are for real?
This season, yeah. I'm shocked that I'm saying this.
Okay. Look, I think it's an acceptable point of view that the Dolphins might be for real because through 2 weeks, we're not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not 100%, I'm not even close. I am like 30% on board with the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I think they have great skill position players. I think Tua might have something. I think they have some really good pieces on defense. I'm not sold on their offensive line. But maybe their head coach, Mike McDaniels, is just smart enough to scheme around a faulty offensive line. It's going to get them at some point. It might not even be this week.
Yeah.
But even if they beat the Bills, they ain't better than the Bills.
Yeah. Bills much are, more competitive than they used to be, at least.
Yes. Bills are a 5.5-point road favorite at Miami. All right, Ravens at Patriots. I think the Patriots are one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say that. They're not one of the, they're really not a bottom 10 team in the league. I just think the Patriots are very, very average. I don't think the head coach is very, very average, though. There's just a limit to what you can do with limited personnel. They have limited personnel. I'm not really sure how the Ravens lost to the Dolphins with a 4-touchdown lead, for an 18-point lead in the fourth quarter on the road. So, like Jacoby Brissett talked about how the Browns had to come back and figure it, you know, look themselves in the mirror and rally from having blown the game against the Jets. The Ravens have to do the same thing, only the Ravens are on the road in Foxborough. I and the Ravens win the game. They are road favorites. When was the last time the Patriots were underdogs on their own field?
It's
2.5-point underdogs.
Weird concept.
All right. Packers-Bucks. I don't know why. This game doesn't have big game feel to me.
No?
And that could be just my fault. I know it's Packers-Bucks. I know it's Rodgers-Brady. But we don't know what to make of Tampa's offense.
No.
No Mike Evans. Their offense wasn't really that good with Mike Evans. So I'm not really sure what to make of it. Packers are trying to figure it out with a whole bunch of new options for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Bucks are only a 1-point favorite at home.
I know, that's crazy. With Tom Brady. I know. I think the Packers are going to win this one,
do
actually.
You?
I do. That was my pick.
All right. I have a hard time. Oh, well, with Gilio?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
that's my pick. So.
On Gilio's card, that whole thing? All right. Good. I think Tampa wins at home. But
okay.
I think anything could happen in that game. Two good defenses. So who knows? All right. Finally, the United States leads the internationals in the President's Cup 4-1. However, of the four, only one was an easy one. I said this yesterday about golf. Golf is kind of dumb in that it doesn't matter if you are the best player in the world. You can lose to the 150th best player in the world because that guy is capable of going low. He just doesn't do it as often, but man, the worst player on the international team has probably shot a 62 this year.
Wow.
So it doesn't matter how good Scottie Scheffler is. You can lose. Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns lost yesterday. Right now, there are all five matches on the course. The USA leads in one. The Internationals lead in one. And they are all square in the other three. Anything can happen. But the U.S. is probably going to route the Internationals.
Well, there you go.
So, I gave you that President's Cup scoreboard earlier. It is flipped. USA leads in two. International leads in none. Three matches are all square. That cannot end that way. I think the Internationals have to win this session. Otherwise, we're just going to get to... By the time we get to Sunday, it's going to be not worth anybody's time. Unless you just like to watch it. And that's me. I'm that guy. But if you need it to be close, I don't think that's going to happen unless the Internationals win this session today. We got a lot of things to discuss today. And I'm glad that it's Friday. We can talk to Luke Dukak from the News and Observer, my friend. You can read him in the pages of the NNO online at newsobserver.com, all of that. Follow him on Twitter at Luke Dukak. He makes it easy. All right, let's start with the Carolina Hurricanes, who opened up training camp yesterday. Not a surprise, Brent Burns and Jordan Staal set the bar in the team's fitness test. Rod told me that a week ago. He was blown away. But your level of optimism for this team over the course of this season. Obviously, injuries are always going to play a part of everything, barring something crazy like Max Pacioretty blowing out an Achilles to miss 4 months of the year. What's your level of optimism for this group?
I mean, I think it's the same as it was last year. If anything, it's higher. You know, you've got some, even with the Pacioretty injury, you know, even without Nino Niederreiter and Vincent Trocheck, I mean, Brent Burns, I'm not sure people realize this yet because I keep hearing things about this. I don't think people realize what a parabolic exponential upgrade Brent Burns is over Tony DeAngelo. Nothing against Tony, right, who actually probably played to the limit of his capabilities for most of the season here. But Brent Burns is just a completely different player. It's just not the same sport. And the center, I think center is going to be a little bit of an issue. Mm-hmm. Paul Stastny started in the Nino role on the wing. Obviously, he can play in the middle. They want to give a long look to Jesperi Kotkaniemi there. Martin Natchez is going to get a look at center because he complained about it at the end of last season. Well, in fairness to him, if it's going to happen, yeah, it needs to happen. So give him the opportunity. And if he takes advantage of it, you know, the more power to him. And you know, it was. I think you always kind of are impressed with a few of the kids from rookie camp. I think Vasily Ponomarev has a chance. Passion has gone from passion to passion to passion to passion to passion over the course of the last 2 weeks. But he also scored a lacrosse goal. And look, I know 8-year-olds are doing that all the time, yes, now. But to do it under live action, as Hubert Davis would say, is different, especially in a rookie tournament game, yeah, where everybody's looking to clean someone else's clock. So, the expectations haven't changed, even with the new faces, as I wrote today. What's changed, I think, is the fact that there is only one option for this team that you can call this season a success. That was true last year. It's true this year. It's true anytime you're a contender. And as Rod said yesterday, you know, even the best team in the league just has a chance. We're one of the teams, right, that has a chance. And on September 22nd, September 23rd, if you're in a position to say that you have a chance and you're not hoping you have a chance, then the bar set pretty high. And I think it is, again, for the Hurricanes. I think if they can figure things out at center, whether that's Stastny, right, or Kotkaniemi or whoever it is, maybe it even ends up being Jack Drury, who's managed to exceed all expectations over the course of his young career, they'll be okay. That's the one issue, and obviously the left defense situation you and I have been talking about for months solved itself, as these things so often do.
Theoretically, Calvin DeHaan still, I guess, has to win a spot on the team, but I have no doubt that he will. For those people who don't know what Luke might be referring to there, and that is Jake Gardner not going to be at training camp and more than likely will be placed on long-term injured reserve. Back went out, apparently, so will not be returning after a year on long-term injury. All right, my only fear of this team, my only real fear, I have some fringe fears. You referred to one of them. There's really, other than Derek Stepan or potential of Martin Natchez, there's no right shot center. And we know Rod likes to have options righty-lefty. My biggest fear is, what happens if Freddie gets hurt? Freddie Anderson, goaltender, missed the entire playoffs last year. We know Antti Raanta is really not capable of being a 55-game-a-guy, 55-game-a-year guy. So what happens if goaltending deals with an injury or just isn't quite as good as it was a year ago, which I think, given age, is a possibility?
Yeah, it's a possibility. I mean, two things. One, you can always get in that sort of veteran goaltender market. They haven't, for various reasons, cap reasons and wanting to give Pyotr Kochetkov every opportunity to play in Chicago. But B is, they really like Kochetkov, mm-hmm. and they like his sand, for lack of a better word. And if he has to come up and play a little bit, that's not the worst thing in the world. I don't think you want to go into the playoffs the way you ended up in the playoffs last year with Ronta and Kochetkov. But I don't think this team should be good enough that if they lose Freddie Anderson for the month of December, that they can get by with Ronta and Kochetkov. That's not a long-term solution. But there aren't many teams in the league that would be in a good position if they lose their number one goalie for the playoffs. You know, like, Tampa's not sitting here going, well, what's our backup plan if Vasilevsky...
Brian Elliott.
You know, if Vasilevsky can't play in the playoffs, what are we, you know, what, how are we, that's a big hole for us. Yeah, no kidding, it's a big hole for you. And it was for the Hurricanes. And really, you know, Antti Raanta, despite the way things ended, carried the Hurricanes a long way. So I hear what you're saying there. I don't have a ton of concern over a month or so without Freddie. And look, over the course of Freddie's career, you're going to miss Freddie for a month or so. Yeah. Like, that is something you have to game plan for. But I'm fine with Kochetkov coming up. I think he's earned that opportunity. I think he's earned the opportunity to be the guy in Chicago and not have sort of a veteran type come in and play out of him, and we'll see what happens. But that's also a position, Adam. If you get into a fix, you can address at the deadline with a guy from a non-contender.
Yeah.
There's other things you can do. But I'm not sure in September, having Kochetkov and seeing the way he played under fire, I'm not sure in September that you need to do anything about that at this point.
You mentioned his sand. Just the fact that he went after Brad Marchand during that series against Boston, that's enough for a lot of people. He won a lot of respect. Maybe not as much in the room for that, although I'm sure he did. But fans noticed that. It's like, wow, that guy went after Marchand. All right, let me go to football. Carolina's 3-0. Nobody really thought that they would be national contenders, and I'm not suggesting that they are. But 3-0, even though they got there in kind of a weird way, Notre Dame here, what's at stake in this? Like, is this, I must want to say it's ceremonial because Notre Dame's clearly not vintage, but what's at stake for Carolina this week?
I think legitimacy is at stake, to be honest with you. I mean, App State's, you know, you got to remember, Adam, App State's 4-0. They've got two wins, a moral victory over UNC, and a transitive property victory over Miami. It's crazy. We're all just sort of moving on with life as if App State won that game.
Right.
You combine that with how bad UNC looked against Florida A&M with struggling to put away Georgia State on the road. I think legitimacy is on the line for UNC. I mean, one, I don't think Notre Dame is going to be this bad all season. So if you're going to catch them, now's the time to catch them. Two, if UNC, look, you're talking to a guy who picked UNC to win the Coastal. So, you know, it's not like this is crazy out of bounds. But if UNC is legit, if they're going to be a good team, this is a game they have to win. It's at home. It's a struggling Notre Dame. You got to kick them while they're down. That to me is what's at stake for UNC. Obviously, it has no bearing on the Coastal Division or the ACC race. But you've had three wins that are not exactly, I don't know what the word you want to say is, decisive.
Right.
You've got a chance here. Even if this win isn't decisive, nobody's going to discount it. Notre Dame is still Notre Dame.
Right. But everybody will forget if Notre Dame is a 6-6 Notre Dame team, nobody will care at the end of the season or next year or the year after. They will simply remember that when it was 73 degrees, not a cloud in the sky, and beautiful in Chapel Hill, I was there when the Tar Heels beat Notre Dame, blah, blah, blah. Because that's this kind of a game.
It's Notre Dame.
And right.
Duke beat a terrible Notre Dame team.
They went to South Bend and beat them.
And they might as well have beat Tony Rice and Lou Holtz. It doesn't matter. The gold flecks are still in the helmet. It just matters. It just does. Should it? It's a different conversation. In 2022, is Notre Dame still Notre Dame? I don't know. But bad Notre Dame, good Notre Dame, Notre Dame in a hurricane trying to throw the ball 41 times. It all still counts the same.
Right. And nobody at NC State is like discounting that win because Notre Dame finished the season 4-8. Nobody cares that Notre Dame was bad and was poorly coached on that particular day. Luke Dukakis of the News and Observer is here. What are your thoughts on Wake hosting Clemson? Like, this is an interesting spot on the schedule for Clemson. It's an interesting spot starting next week on the schedule for NC State, which starts a stretch at Clemson. Home against Florida State is clearly not a train wreck. And at suddenly viable Syracuse. So what are your thoughts about Clemson going to Wake?
I think this is the kind of game where everybody picks Clemson and Wake wins. This is a classic Wake, Dave Clawson, Jim Grobe, if you want to go that sure. go back that far. Everyone's picking against them, and they confound expectations. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. Back in September, Wake beat Clemson. Hey, I know Clemson's defense is good. I'm still just not sure whether Clemson is good or what we've come to know as Clemson good. And I think Wake, despite struggling with Liberty, has a lot of confidence coming into this game. It's going to be full. Mm-hmm. I just feel like this is one of those games where we look back and say, oh, yeah, why didn't we pick Wake? Wake was obviously going to win that game. And you know, is it a trap game for Clemson? Yeah, I think it is. Because you look at the ACC preseason player of the year, the way the preseason polling went, State coming to Clemson, that's a big game. And you're going to be looking ahead to that a little bit, I think, because even now, as good as Wake has been, I still think people overlook Wake because it's Wake.
Right.
And I think Clemson, to a certain extent, is ripe to fall that way. So that's kind of how I see that one setting up.
Here's the thing about this game. I actually think that Clemson's running game and them at the point of attack on both sides of the ball might be, I think it's going to be low scoring. I think this is going to be a close game. But I think that might be just enough. I think there were signs in the Wake Liberty game, defensively more than anything else, that Wake might not be good enough to. I mean, look, I know DJU is not great, but he looked much better than he had against Air, against Louisiana Tech. So I think if he is turning any kind of corner, then I think Clemson's going to be too much athletically for Wake to handle. The Liberty game I thought was eye-opening. Not so much offensively, more defensively.
I don't know. I just don't put a ton of stock in it.
All right. Is
it's
Duke
the kind of game you win and move on, and they were probably looking ahead to Clemson.
Maybe.
So.
Is Duke, Kansas an actual big game?
Yeah, I think so, just because we know that Kansas is well-coached. It looks like Duke is well-coached. I think what we're learning about Duke is, and look, you and I have talked about this, nothing against David Cutcliffe. He worked miracles at Duke. It obviously went stale at the end.
Right.
I think what we're seeing is players who were there for the last 2 years playing with a new degree of freedom, of love of the game. I think it's almost turned back the clock on Duke 4 or 5 years, back to when there was excitement around that program. And you know, it's just it's sad that it took that coaching change to do that, but sometimes that's what it takes. I think we've seen with the schemes and the coaching on the staff that the brain drain really did hurt Duke, that they just weren't, you know, look at what Chase Bryce has done at App State. That was just not a program that was doing 2022 things on the football field. And now it is. You know, Mike Elko knows what he's doing. He's come mm-hmm. from big programs. He may be a first-time head coach, but he's been able to install sure. things that he knows will work on both sides of the ball. And they've got their Brandon Kinnett in Jordan Moore, the quarterback who plays wide receiver and scores all the touchdowns.
He's their best wide receiver.
Now you're hearkening back to the true modern glory days of Duke football. So, no, I think it is. I think Lance Leopold is an unbelievable mm-hmm. coach at Kansas. I mean, he kind of comes from, you know, my roots in terms of sort of small college Wisconsin football,
sure.
which is legit. I mean, that's yeah. kind of what I grew up watching for various reasons. but I believe that the success he's had at Kansas and the success he had at Buffalo is no fluke. And I believe that, you know, Mike Elko has clearly hit on something at Duke in terms of tapping a sort of vein of enthusiasm and to a certain extent talent. Yeah. That had just sort of gotten hidden under the sort of gray clouds that came to surround that program. So I think it is a legit game. I mean, I think Duke at this point, until proven otherwise, is a contender in the Coastal. You know, they've won games. I don't think the Coastal's very good. I don't think there are a bunch of teams in the Coastal better than Northwestern. and they beat Northwestern on the road. I mean, look, Temple was going to struggle against Broughton or Cardinal Gibbons. And obviously A&T is not up to A&T's usual standards. But going on the road and beating Northwestern is legit. And if they go on the road and beat Kansas, I don't know what. That's my point here.
I'll agree with you. If they go on the road and beat Kansas, I'll agree that there's fringe contender in the Coastal.
Well, I mean, who else is there? I mean, Carolina's looked terrible at times.
Carolina, Miami, and Pitt are all significantly better.
Are you serious?
They're all significantly better than Duke, I think.
Oh, my God. 5% of the time, Miami
I'm happy
wins
to be
the
right.
Coastal
I'm happy to be
time.
Wrong. Because, I love the program.
I
I'm happy to be
sell
wrong.
Short on Miami until the day I die I and be a very I rich man.
Totally, totally understand. All right, final thing. Is there a way, Luke Dukak, that the
international team can win?
No. There's no way that's not going to happen. Is there a way, although I'm going to Charlotte, is there a way that if when the Panthers lose to the Saints, that this will not be a Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday referendum on Matt Rhule?
I think here's the thing. I think Matt Rhule is a dead man walking. I think when Dan Orlovsky goes on ESPN and tears you a new one, mm-hmm. whether he was right or wrong, national guys, even the prickly ones, don't take headshots like that at sitting coaches who they think are going to be around
because
they know it will come back to haunt them. That was a absolute kill shot, right? It doesn't matter whether he's right or wrong. The fact that he pulled the trigger on that video breakdown, basically showing how the Panthers were tipping their plays, and then calling out the coaching staff doing it.
Isn't that more on Ben McAdoo than Matt Rhule, though?
Yeah, but honestly, if Matt Rhule's this defensive guru, he's a football genius he's supposed to be, he should spot that in their tendencies, too.
Right.
And if you have a head coach who isn't checking their tendencies, like, that's why you have 19 offensive quality control guys, is so someone's watching that. I mean, they just put a situational clock on their practice field this week.
Probably need
like,
that.
Where's that going to go in the TikTok 2 years from now of where it went wrong in America? Anyway,
Did they borrow that from Nathaniel Hackett at the Broncos?
You know, it's always good. Yeah, you can make jokes. The joke I'll make is ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips has a view or will have a view of Bank of America Stadium from his new office. And he's considering, or I shouldn't say considering, he has been rumored as a candidate for the Bears open presidency, which means he has the choice of managing the second worst franchise in the NFL or watching the worst franchise in the NFL every single day. That's not an envious. Anyway, no, I don't think Matt Rhule is going to get fired during the season. Oh. I think the Panthers, maybe like Thanksgiving, I think the Panthers will use Matt Rhule. Hey, if they're smart, and who knows what they are, will use the Matt Rhule, the end of the Matt Rhule era as a tank. Get a good draft pick, try to get some talent in the draft, and start over with a guy who knows what he's doing and isn't in over his head.
I said yesterday or the day before that a sneaky good bet is Matt Rhule to not be the first coach in the NFL fired.
Yeah, no, I agree. And if he's smart, he's talking to Nebraska right now. I know they're looking at
I would know. If he's smart, he's talking to Arizona State, not talking to Nebraska, if Matt Rhule is really smart. And I know you are, Luke Dukak.
Maybe.
I appreciate your time.
Maybe.
Luke Dukak.
Thanks,
man. I'll talk to you next week. Look, I just don't. I want the knee jerk. It's we all understand the head coach is not great at this. We get it. Okay. We have to be able to focus on other things. Unless the head coach is a complete fool during the game, in which case, yeah, we're going to do it. Yeah. I appreciate, by the way, Nathaniel Hackett owning up to their, I don't know, they've had like 4 delay of game penalties in 2 games. Mm. And actually, that's not even half of their issues pre-snap for the Broncos. The Broncos don't have other issues. The quarterback of the Broncos has other issues that we'll probably get to at some point before we are done here today. But it is halftime.
Now your halftime entertainment.
Okay, so I may have mentioned this before, but I am a fall lover. So I was super excited yesterday happened. I am ready for all the fallness, which includes Halloween. Now, do you like Halloween?
Well, look. Do I like Halloween? Yeah, I like it. Well, my son is 14. He's not trick-or-treating anymore, which is good. I don't have to do with the costumes. But my wife loves Halloween. We have no neighbors. Nobody comes to the house.
No.
We decorate the house.
Yes, me too.
Yes, we have pumpkins already. There will be a witch. There will be all sorts of apparatus around the house. Halloween's a fun holiday.
We are the same person. No one really sees any of my decorations, but it just makes me feel good to do it.
And that's fine.
I'm going to be honest right now. I'm taking my Halloween decorations out this weekend, and I may put them up.
Oh, no, there's no question.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I'm glad that you brought up trick-or-treating, because that brings me to my first topic. But it doesn't have to do with humans. 76% of pet owners say that they put costumes on their little doggos and cats. I don't know how you put it on a cat, but...
Neither do I.
No, not doing that.
Well, my dog, Earl, the Weimaraner, he likes to wear a coat.
Oh.
He likes it.
Okay.
Weimaraners don't have full... They're not fully furred, if you will.
Uh-huh.
So their chest and belly are kind of exposed. So he gets cold. He likes to be covered up in a blanket.
Yeah.
Like, loves to be covered up in a blanket. And if you don't cover him up, he will cover himself up.
Oh, okay.
But yes, outside, especially if it's cold, yeah, he digs a coat. So he would accept a costume.
Yeah.
But we don't, I mean, there's no reason to costume him.
You don't do that. No. I used to have a bull terrier who I put a panther jersey on, and he would just freeze. Like, he didn't really know what to do with himself when I did it. But, so, apparently that's how many people take it out. But here's the kicker that kind of was like, huh? 31% of people take them trick-or-treating and prefer to do that over a human or like a child, like a significant other or their child.
How does the dog hold the bag?
That's what I'm asking. Do you not get looks if you go to people's house and you're like a 38-year-old person with a dog?
Dog's got one of those plastic pumpkin candy buckets.
Right?
He can hold it with the handle in his teeth.
I would give that dog candy.
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
By the way, this is a real issue. Back in a previous life, I used to do a show, and we had a vet on every week.
Oh.
And for people who are new pet owners, new dog owners, Halloween, really dangerous for dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So, not to be serious about this, but keep your dog away from the candy.
Yes.
Keep your dog away from the candy.
No chocolate.
Yes.
That's not a good idea.
If I
see someone come up to my house with a dog in a costume,
yes,
I'd give the person candy. But anyway, so I'm excited to see those pictures. Okay. Do you like the halftime shows for the Super Bowls?
For the most part, yeah. I loved this past one.
Yes.
Oh, my. It was just amazing.
So much fun.
Yeah.
I really loved it. Well, apparently there's little birdies going around about this next Super Bowl halftime show. Swifties are thinking it's going to be Taylor Swift. That's their fan club, just in case you didn't know. Swifties. So apparently...
I got no problem with that.
Twitter lit up early this morning with an NFL announcement that there's going to be a significant Super Bowl coming. And they made a deal with Apple Music, and they are no longer with Pepsi. So people are starting to connect dots because Taylor Swift couldn't work with Pepsi. She's like affiliated with Coke, I guess.
Oh, okay, yeah, makes sense.
I have no idea. This also was released at midnight. So that's why they're connecting these dots, like, okay, it's midnight, Pepsi's out of the picture, gotta be Taylor Swift. So, just a heads up,
That might be. I got no problem. Best halftime show ever was Prince.
Yes.
I think last year's halftime show is second.
Yes.
I just thought that was such a slick production.
I know.
Prince, have you ever seen there's like it's a mini doc. It's not a long documentary, but it's a mini doc about putting that together and how cool Prince was to deal with for everybody involved.
Oh, fun!
Yeah, and of course, it was a driving rainstorm.
Yeah.
And they were terrified that he was going to electrocute himself.
Well, so obviously, yes.
It's a great, great piece.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
and that was back in 2007. I can't believe it was that long ago, but it was that good.
In Miami, and he was he had dolphin colors on.
Yes!
Prince is a sports fan. He was a sports fan. I shouldn't say is.
He was. Yeah.
Although, who knows? Maybe Prince is still alive.
I know, right? It could be a conspiracy.
Like an Elvis thing.
Yeah.
It's an Elvis thing.
He's still alive. He's just somewhere now performing. I know. Last up. Are you a coffee drinker?
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, apparently there's benefits between hot versus cold. So apparently, if you like hot coffee, it supposedly lowers risk for cancer, heart disease, diabetes, all this stuff. Also, just holding a cup of warm coffee supposedly makes you a more generous person and less stressed out.
Holding a cup of coffee.
Just holding it.
Makes you more generous and less stressed out.
This is what they say. And I say they, thinking that they have some kind of credentials, degree, who decide this.
How do they even do that study?
I know.
Like, is there a control group for that study? If the, so, we gave 100 different people a cup of coffee. Not to drink, just to hold.
Right.
To see if their generosity tendencies went higher?
Right.
Did your stress... I just
don't
even understand.
Are you more of a jerk or less of a jerk?
I don't even understand how you...
No idea. But if you like cold coffee, not all is lost because you still get some protection with your digestive system. It's better for your teeth versus hot one. But either way, I think it just comes down to the caffeine. Caffeine makes everyone happy. It's happy juice.
Is
so.
It?
I think that's really where it's coming from.
Look, I'm a fan of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to go any further than that.
I know.
It's good.
The older I get, the more I need it.
I drink less of it now than I used to drink. I used to probably drink 4 cups a day, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
Which maybe not great.
Well,
I'm down to between 2 and 3.
Which,
I mean, of course, our cups. They're giants. So.
Well, yes. That's kind of like my wine glass, too.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Technically, just like one glass of wine, and I've got this huge thing.
But there's a ladder hanging off the side of it.
Yes. Let me sit it in my lap while I pour. Yes.
I understand.
So, I know.
Completely understand.
Hey, either way, enjoy your coffee. Makes you nicer.
Yeah, look. I think iced coffee, not cold coffee.
Yeah.
Cold coffee's vile. But iced coffee, iced coffee... is unfortunate. Here's where iced coffee goes wrong, is that it's not really, I guess some people do drink iced coffee black. I don't understand that.
No.
But to me, iced coffee is more, all right, it's sweet. It's got this in it. It's got that in it. It's got a macchiato to it. Like, at this point, might as well just do a milkshake.
Yes.
In which case, cookout's right up the street.
I'm for all that, though.
So let's just do that. All right, when we come back.
This is the Adam Gold Show.